It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. John Schmelk with you, one day away from leaving for the NFL Combine. In fact, less than 24 hours. Nice 6 a.m. flight tomorrow. Watch me get excited about being out my door at 4 a.m. to go to Newark Airport. That's where everybody wants to be at 5 o'clock in the morning, isn't it, Newark? Sounds about right. But should be fun. We'll have a chance to talk to a bunch of people in the media, watch all these players, see how they interact with people at press conferences. That'll be fun. And how about this one for you? And this is where I kind of want to guide the show today. In one respect, but we can also talk a little about free agency. I'll do both in my little monologue here. Number one, besides the fact that the Combine is a place for everybody in the NFL to look at these college players coming out and decide where you can draft them. That's number one. But this is also kind of like the unofficial start of free agency. And here's why. Not only are these college kids there, obviously all the NFL, you know, pro personnel guys, coaches, scouts, they're all there. So are all the agents of the college players. And take a guess who else the agents of the college players represent. All the players that are going to become free agents this year. So I would not be surprised if Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin and Kevin Abrams and everybody else that's out there for the Giants take some time and sits down with Justin Tuck's agent. They sit down with John Beese's agent. They check in with Akeem Nix. They check in with Linval Joseph. And they have some preliminary discussions and see if it is going to be possible to sign any of these guys to a contract extension before free agency begins on March 11th and the negotiation period with other teams begins on March 8th. So this is when you might start hearing some rumors and some things happening because teams will talk to agents. Agents will talk to the media. Teams will talk to the media. Things will get leaked. And, you know, guys like Adam Schefter will be all over it. Speaking of which, this morning, I'm not sure if people were paying attention to Twitter so early, but Adam Schefter, with a very interesting report, that the NFL salary cap looks like it will go up from about $123 million to about $130 million, giving every team in the league a little bit more money to spend. The Giants, more flexibility to go out there and grab somebody. Maybe not quite as necessary to extend the guy like Eli so early. Maybe you can renegotiate David Boss and keep him around an extra year instead, things like that. And then, for a team like, say, the Dallas Cowboys, who are $30 million over the cap, they'll have to either cut fewer people or do less renegotiation in order to get under the cap. So it's more money for everybody to spend, and really the people who that benefits the most are the players because there's more money out there now for teams to spend in free agency to sign all of these guys to free agents. And players will be walking, agents will be walking around to these players at the Combine seeing what teams have money to spend, who they're going to be looking at, and those types of behind-the-glass conversations can begin. Because the way it works, now, they hide us media folks in the press room during this thing, so I'm not going to be out and about talking to these people. But all the scouts, all the coaches, GMs, agents are all in that stadium bowl, kind of just walking around, sitting down, watching all this stuff together and chatting. You even have people from other teams chatting with each other from time to time between events. So this is like a big inside the NFL type of weekend, and I'm looking forward to being a part of it. I'm sure I'll be in, you know, Roger Goodell's dinner party on Friday night. Hello? I'm trying to get into St. Elmo's, though. I don't know if that's going to happen either. I have some calls out to some very important folk out there in Indianapolis. It's probably not going to work. But it should be fun. It should be good. And we could talk about any of that and more this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Now, the second thing that I wanted to bring up is while I'm out there, I'm going to have a chance to talk to four or five different Giant scouts. I'll even have a chance to talk to Mark Ross. We'll do a couple sit-down interviews, which should be a lot of fun. Now, here's the trick. Here's what I need from you. For you folks out there listening, I'm going to put this up on Twitter. First of all, we have a special Giants Combine Twitter account, which the Giants have foolishly put under my control for the course of the weekend. So, I know a lot of Giant fans out there get really annoyed that I tweet about the Knicks. Well, if you don't want any Knicks stuff, don't worry about at Schmelk. If you want only Combine news, at NYG Combine. Now, I'll sprinkle on both, but if you want only the football stuff from the Combine, at NYG Combine on Twitter. I'll be on it all weekend. I'll be taking pictures. I'll be tweeting various nuggets that I discover over the course of the time there at the Combine, and it should be a lot of fun. Now, here's the trick. When I talk to Mark Ross, when I talk to these scouts, we're going to have an opportunity to ask them some questions from the fans. So what I want you to do is, aside from our normal comments on hashtag Giants Chat this morning, and obviously you guys do a great job on Twitter, what you can do, and you know what, you can even call in with your questions if you want as well. 201-939-4513. Danny Salmon will write them down for me, and we'll see which questions are appropriate. We can turn them around, and I can ask the scouts and ask Mark Ross some of your questions when I have a chance to talk to him over the weekend, and you'll see those questions answered on Giants.com. Now, I will put out there one rule and some advice. The rule is that I'm not allowed to ask these guys about individual players. All right? Mostly because they're not going to give me an answer anyway. So if you want to know comment, send me a question about a specific player. You're just not going to get anything. If you ever watched Jerry Reese's pre-draft press conference, you know. He won't say a damn thing about anybody. And that's going to be the same case when I talk to these guys over the weekend. So don't send the question like, do you think Taylor Lewin's a top 15 pick? Do you think Zach Barton's a tackle or guard? Do you think Justin Gilbert's a good fit for the Giants? I'm not getting an answer to that. So that question's not going to get asked. But if you have a question about the process, about how they evaluate certain positions, how they evaluate certain players, by all means, send it in. And we will get those questions in Indianapolis on Friday, and I'll ask some of the guys over the weekend about those things. Should be a lot of fun. So you can be a part of it and contribute. And a lot of you guys have great questions and you call me up. Now you have a chance to ask the people themselves that do the scouting and are part of the decision-making process in the draft room. So there you have it. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We already have nearly full lines, and let's go to Alex all the way out in Los Angeles, who's up obscenely early this morning. Alex, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's up?
So I'm a Giants fan.
Yep.
And I know it's been a rough season, and I think John Beeson has really helped them, and I'm wondering if they're going to re-sign him.
I think, Alex, they are going to do everything they can to re-sign John Beeson. If I had to order the importance of their free agents, I would say Beeson is probably the player that they are most interested and most focused on bringing back if you're a member of the Giants. So I believe Beeson will be here. The only way he isn't is if he gets a huge offer from another team. But I think John Beeson will be the Giants' starting middle linebacker next year.
Okay, and just one more question.
Sure.
If the Giants re-sign Beeson, will it affect who they draft?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think anybody available at 12 is a good prototypical middle linebacker anyway. I see C.J. Mosley out of Alabama, more of an outside player. So I would say probably not, but if they don't re-sign Beeson, I do think drafting a linebacker in those first two rounds becomes much, 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 much more likely than if they don't. So I think it might affect their decision-making a little bit, also in free agency. But look, the Giants are going to draft who they think is the best available player out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it. You can go back to sleep. It's very early, L.A. Yeah, that's funny. I've gotten calls from California. I don't think we've ever gotten a Los Angeles call. I don't think we've gotten a straight-up L.A. call before. La La Land. Well, they don't have an NFL team. I once tried to get our radio broadcast on in Los Angeles. That did not go well. People didn't care. Nugget. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phones and go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey first. Tim, what's going on, pal?
Nothing. I got a question for you.
Sure.
Will the Giants sign Jermichael Finley, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Brandon Spikes, and re-sign John Beeson, Andre Brown, Josh Brown, and Linval Joseph, and sign Antoine Roll to a 5-year extension?
Well, I'm not sure if they're going to do a 5-year extension on Antoine Roll, Tim, because, you know, he's getting near 30 now, so you're going to have to be careful with that. But I do think they'll sign
probably 4 years.
Honestly, I think 4 years is probably a good number. You lock him up for that amount of years, and you keep him here, you save some salary cap space. I think that's more than plausible, and I would say that's a very likely scenario to happen this offseason for the Giants. Let me go through the rest of your guys. I think Andre Brown and Josh Brown, I think, will definitely be back. I think the Giants are very happy with him. I think Andre Brown is a guy the Giants will look at as a complimentary back, but if they do bring back Andre Brown, I think they will try to bring back another full-time guy to take the load off him. I'm not sure they trust Andre Brown to carry the load. Maurice Jones-Drew was another guy you mentioned. I think he's going to cost too much money. I think in the end, another team will outbid the Giants for Linval Joseph. Brandon Spikes, I think, will get a lot of interest from other teams, but if the Giants re-sign John Beeson, which I think they will, I don't think there's a lot of room for Brandon Spikes, considering both guys are primarily run-stopping middle linebackers. Was that everybody, Danny? What was the first name Tim mentioned? Do you remember? I got Maurice Jones-Drew. I hit him. I think I got all of them. Tim, thanks for the call, buddy. Always good. Appreciate it. And again, you extend Roll because you want to clear up more cap space. You know, he has a big cap number this season, so if you extend him, you can kind of spread that out and create more room under the cap, which I think is a good idea. 201-939-4513. Antoine in Atlanta is back. Antoine, good morning.
I got three questions.
Yep.
My first question is, like, what do you think, like, the first moves the Giants are going to make before free agency?
If they were to make one move before free agency, I could see, you know what? I know you're not going to like this answer. I could see Josh Brown being re-signed to a contract extension before free agency starts. I could see something small like that. For some reason, I still have the feeling you're not going to get Beeson or Tuck back in here until after free agency starts. I think you might see, you know, a guy like Brown, Josh Brown re-sign, maybe a guy like Henry Hanoski before free agency come back. Little moves like that. I think most of the big guys, though, are going to want to hit the market, see what's out there before they re-sign with the Giants.
Okay. Well, my second question is, do you think the Giants will restructure Antoine Roll?
Yes, I do think they will restructure Antoine Roll in the form of a contract extension. I'm not sure they're necessarily going to, you know, just move money around outright. I just think that they will extend him and make sure that he's here for a long time and at the same time free up salary cap space. So, in my opinion, that will be in the form of a contract extension.
Okay, my last question is, how much of a role do you think Jarrell Jernigan could play next season in the new offense?
You know, that's a great question. He kind of has the same type of skill set as Victor Cruz. They're both slot guys. They're both smallish. If they go to more four wide receiver sets, I could see a bigger role for him. I just don't see Jernigan and Cruz starting at the same time. I think they're too redundant. And obviously, if Cruz is in the slot in three wide receiver sets, it's journeying in a guy you can really put outside and expect a lot out of him because of his size. So I think that'll be a challenge. And I think you have to figure out, too, whether or not Jernigan is for real or he was just a flash in the pan for a couple games to close last season. I don't know the answer to that. Can he stay healthy? Something else he struggled with over the course of his career. I don't have the answer to that either. So I think the best way you can use a guy like Jernigan next year is if they go with more of a four wide receiver sets and you have Cruz and Jernigan kind of in the slot at the same time. I think that would probably be the best way to handle it.
Okay. Thanks for taking my question.
No problem. Thanks, Antoine. 201-939-4513. I wonder if Antoine knows I shouted him out yesterday. Probably not. It's good to have Antoine back on the horn. 201-939-4513. Some open lines if you guys want to join us. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, how are you, pal?
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. First of all, have a great trip to Indianapolis. And don't forget, I know you're talking about St. Elmo's, but don't forget to get the Steak and Shake.
There will be at least one visit to Steak and Shake. I promise you that, Len.
There you go. I'm jealous already, John. Listen, one question for Mark Ross. Actually, two questions for Mark Ross.
All right, hold on, Len. Hold on one second. Dan, get ready to write these down. Go ahead, Dan. Are you ready? All right. Go ahead, Len.
I got two for Mark, and I got one for Jerry if you happen to run into him.
Okay.
All right, on Mark, I'm really curious. how far back does their research on a player go? In other words, when does somebody first catch their eye, so to speak? I mean, is it sophomore year? When do they write down a name and say, let's follow this guy for the next 3 years, 2 years, 1 year? I mean, when does the light go on and say, this is a guy we ought to pay attention to?
Okay, I think that's a good question.
Okay. And secondly, in terms of their overall philosophy, are seniors looked upon more favorably than juniors? On the health issue, do they look for a clean bill of health? I mean, what kinds of things are they kind of weighing? Does the senior versus junior make any difference?
Okay, I think that's also a good question. Senior versus junior, okay. Does that make a difference? And also, how do you balance health with everything else?
And also the ascendancy thing, you know. Somebody comes on the horizon, you know, we see him three times during their sophomore year because we're scouting other people, and these guys have great games. But as you look at them in juniors and seniors, they're not ascending. They're kind of leveling off. Does that make a difference to them?
Got it. All right, that's interesting.
I mean, does he have to be playing better every year?
Okay, I think that's an excellent question.
Okay. Hey, I got a quick one for Jerry, too. And perhaps for you as well. And it has to do with Linville Joseph. And, you know, it appears that defensive tackle is not high on our priority list. I mean, you know, the recent past, you know, you can go back to Cornelius Griffin. We've done this many times, John. It appears that the guy gets to his fourth year, and when we change, even though they're high draft choices, right? Second-round draft choices with Griffin, second-round with Linville Joseph, fourth-round with Barry Cofield. Doesn't seem we can get to that second contract with defensive tackles. And, of course, there was a good reason why we didn't offer a second contract to Marvin Austin. He never got to that point. But, I mean, what it – assuming Linville's outside of our payroll here.
Right.
What is it that Linville hasn't done? I mean, you got a guy who's come in and gotten better every year. He's only 25 years old. He's an important element on our defense. I mean, what hasn't this guy done that we're ready to let him go somewhere else?
Well, it's not a matter of him doing anything wrong, Len. It's a matter of whether or not, based on who else you have on the roster, if that money can help your team more if it's spent in a different spot. Here's the question. Do you get a more of an improvement? Look at this way. Let's say Linville's going to cost you $7 million, okay, just to throw out a number. I'm not sure if he's going to cost that much. Let's say it's $7 million. Is that $7 million better spent, let's say theoretically, on getting a second cornerback to start across from Prince, who, you know, is significantly better than Tremaine McBride? Or is that $7 million better spent on Linval Joseph, who is slightly better than Jonathan Hankins is going to be? So you have to see where you can use that money to improve the team most.
Okay. But, again, recent past, it appears to me that we can always find a place for the money to be better spent than on defensive tackle. If not, like, again, we got a guy who's, I mean, he's healthy, he's ascending, he's contributing, he hasn't been, hasn't been injured. All he plays hard on every play. He plays mostly every play. It's astonishing to me that we can't find the money to sign Linville Joseph. It always seems that defensive tackle. I'm not going to say it's an afterthought, John. That's stretching it. But we can always use the money somewhere else, not a defensive tackle. I think you start to send him. When do you draft the next defensive tackle, John? Is it this year with Jernigan? Because we're going to let go. Because Hankins will never live. What would Linville have had to do for us to say, let's spend the money on Linville? Did he match our expectations from when we drafted him?
I'll put it this way. I think there's a much better chance the Giants re-sign Linval Joseph this year if Jonathan Hankins wasn't the best player available in round number two. I mean, there was no guarantee the Giants were taking a defensive tackle last year, and if Hankins isn't on this team, we would be having a much, much different conversation, and I'd be arguing that, yeah, the Giants should re-sign Linval Joseph and bring him back.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think so, too. But now, your friend from Pro Football Focus, who's coming on next week, hopefully you can get him.
Yes, Pete,
you talk about a hot outfit these days. It's Pro Football Focus. Everybody quotes Pro Football Focus, and probably with good reason. I mean, you know, people like to line up numbers. I mean, you know, we like 9.5s, minus 5.2. We love that. You know, because it tells us something that we, as fans, with the naked eye, can't really see. You know? I mean, right. I can't tell you how well our center is playing. I see missed blocks and stuff like that. But when you attach a number to it, it makes a lot of sense. So Pro Football Focus, it would be fun to talk to that guy and to listen to what he has to say. But he's going to tell you one of the problems is Linville doesn't rush the passer. But how many defensive tackles rush the passer? Sue?
There aren't many of them.
Hatcher? But there's not. I mean, you know, you get
Geno Atkins, another one.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, so I'm concerned about. I mean, I'd like to see us re-sign Linville. I mean, he's just, you know, he's a bitch. I mean, this is what we expected Linville to be. Was it not enough? I don't quite get that. Hey, can I ask you one more question?
Anytime.
Okay. All right. One more quick one. It seems like if you looked at 10 mock drafts today, you'd find three quarterbacks in the top 10.
Maybe four.
You'd find maybe four. You'd find which is perfect. Let's say four, because I want to get to 11.
Right.
you're going to find two offensive tackles. Mm-hmm. Okay, Robinson and Matthews.
Yep.
Okay.
That's six.
You're going to find the one wide receiver. You're going to find Watkins.
That's seven.
Okay. That takes us up to seven.
Anthony
you're
Barr.
Find, Mac and Barr at linebacker.
Yep, that's nine.
All right, that takes us to nine. Maybe Jernigan.
Maybe.
To 10, and I'm probably missing somebody in there, but maybe 10's the number. If any of those, who wouldn't you take if they fell, John?
One of the quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, okay. I get you. Let me rephrase my question. Let's set aside the four quarterbacks. Oh, Clowney. I forgot Clowney. Clowney makes 11. Right? If one of those other seven guys drops, are they all somebody you'd take? What do you think?
You know, Clowney obviously was the big one that we missed there.
Right.
I would take Matthews or Robinson for sure.
Okay.
I think they'd be on my radar. I think if the wide I think if the wide receiver drops, Sammy Watkins, I think you'd have to think about him. And by the way, another guy that could be in that top 11 or 12 is the tight end out of North Carolina. He's in a lot of top 10s.
Yeah, I think he's – I think after the combine, he's going into the top 10, John.
Well, that's the thing. He has all
the
measurables.
He looks like the kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's just going to – I mean, he's just going to excel at the combine now. You know, hopefully the naked eye tells us something else about looking at the film. I don't know. Or maybe we should. But, I mean, if one of those guys drop, are they? And I guess what I'm leaning up to, if they don't drop, John, I take it from what you said that you would have taken one of the tackles.
I think you have to think about it. I think you have to think about it.
If you got to 12, would you take Lewin?
I think he's on the radar. He wouldn't – again, Len, this depends what you do in free agency, too. I mean, what you do in the draft has a lot to do with what you end up doing in free agency before the draft gets there.
Right. Right. Oh, here's my real worry for the day, John. Then I'll let you go. And thanks for keeping me on for as long as you did.
No problem.
If Nix and Myers don't come back, and it looks like they're not – and I'm not advocating for them coming back. Understand that. How do we get 100 receptions in 1,400 yards, John? I mean, we're losing 100 receptions. As much as we have bad-mouthed Myers, he caught like 50 balls.
Well, but I think everybody the Giants have started at tight end over the last 3 or 4 years has caught almost 50 balls, no?
Well, maybe another way to look at it, if we have 3 tight ends, we can get 50 catchers. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be one guy. But I'm just thinking, that's a lot of production, John. That's a lot of production to make up. I'm not advocating for Myers. I'm just wondering, who's Eli going to throw the ball to?
Well, I think, for one, you have to spend money or a draft pick on a tight end. So you hope that replaces Myers' production. And you hope that Reuben Randall and Jernigan can do enough to make up for what you lost from Nix, I think.
All right, let me worry a little more. But these got to be first-day players then, John. I mean, they got to be guys who walk in the training. I mean, somebody doesn't come off the bench in game 9 and catch 50 passes. I mean, it's got to be somebody who's playing. You know, it just seems like it's daunting to make up those 100 catches and 1,400 yards. Maybe it's not as hard as I'm making out. Maybe you got to look at 3 guys to get the 50 catches.
Oh, no, it's tough, Len. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. This isn't easy, and that's what I've said from the start of this free agency period. And frankly, one of the reasons I've said to you, I don't think you can afford to bring back Linval Joseph, is you got all these holes to fill on offense. You can't spend all your money on the defensive side of the ball.
The more I look at it, the more I think we're really in a hole here. And what a shame with Eli. And then we're paying him that much money. I mean, we just, you know, it's got to be frustrating. If it's frustrating for me, just imagine if he's the owner of the team or Jerry or somebody in the hierarchy, Tom Coughlin, et cetera. Hey, John, bring back some great stories, will you?
I will do my best. And by the way, Pete DeMilitas from Pro Football Focus should be on next Thursday live in studio to take calls for a full hour. Thanks, Len.
Us fans love those numbers, John.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Take it easy. And by the way, one thing I want to talk to Pete about, which is interesting, they did not grade John Beeson out well last year, which I thought was very fascinating. He did not get a great number for them. I'm curious to see why and what the deal is. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Philip in Montclair, New Jersey. Philip, what's up?
What's up, John?
What's up, Phil? How are you? Doing all
right. I'm all right. Look, just to reiterate what the last caller said, he made some good points, but...
What I was saying, what you were saying about, you know, spending money, I don't think that Joseph is that big of an impact player to, you know, pay him, you know, what he might get in the open market.
Though, in fairness, Philip, I think he was a big part of the Giants having a great run defense last year. He was a big part of that. You got to be fair.
No, I understand, but, I mean, if you're going to get, like, a collective of veterans, like, you know, you got Jenkins, and a few other players that come in at Patterson, you know, to rotate with JPP and Chuck,
I mean, you could go without paying somebody $5 or $6 million a year. That's why they let go of Fred Robbins, because he was probably the best tackle we had, you know, in the past, like, 7 years since we had him, you know.
Barry Colfield as well was very good, obviously.
Oh, yeah, Colfield, too.
But what I wanted to get to was, you know, I see all these mock drafts, and I keep saying we're picking a tackle, and it's not, you know, I know it's just a mock draft, but You know, these guys are getting sources from somewhere, but what I don't understand is if we can't let Beattie go and we have Pugh on the other side, they're going to play. So why waste the pick as a tackle right now when we can get a linebacker like C.J. Mosley or, you know, one of these tight ends is coming out? Because, you know, I actually like the guy Eric Ebron from Oklahoma. I think the other tight end that's been overlooked is Austin Jenkins. I think he might be better than Ebron once they get into the NFL.
Well, yeah, Jenkins looks like more of a two-way type of player than Ebron does. And look, I wouldn't say drafting an offensive tackle there is wasting a pick, because then you move Pugh inside the guard, and he helps you there, and then you get a guy that helps you to tackle too. So I wouldn't consider that wasting a pick, but I do think what the Giants do on the offensive line in free agency will impact whether or not they're going to go offensive tackle in the first round. That's why I think it's too early to predict who the Giants are going to take, because we don't know who's going to be on their roster once free agency starts. I think we're still a little early for that.
Right, right. I say the same, but I mean, as far as, you know, if they do pick a tackle and they move Pugh to guard, but then next year they're going to get rid of Beattie's contract and then move Pugh back to center, I mean back to tackle, why not just have players that play their natural position instead of, you know, moving around?
I don't disagree. I agree.
You know, keep them there. You know, we should, like I said, this pick should either be, I wouldn't have a problem if it was, you know, one of those receivers or a tight end. I don't think we should go that high on a tight end, but I actually like the linebacker out of Alabama.
Mosley can play, and frankly, I would also be okay with Justin Gilbert. I think an impact corner in that spot wouldn't be a bad pick either.
Isn't there another cornerback? I think they have him kind of rated high a little bit. I think Darnez something?
Darquez Dennard from
Michigan
State.
Darquez Dennard. Don't they have him picked in the top 10 maybe too?
They have him usually between 15 and 20 from what I've seen.
Okay, but Gilbert is the top cornerback prospect, right?
Yes, but on most boards, and we'll see if that changes after the combine, he seems to be the Chamber of Commerce selection for the number one cornerback in the draft.
Yeah, they say he's really disciplined, Scott Gilbert. He's got good athleticism. I mean, I wouldn't mind that either. I mean, I feel like, you know, if you look at the top teams in the NFL today, I mean, you know, Seahawks and 49ers, their defense are leading the way. You know, we don't have to go crazy on offense. I mean, we have, you know, we built this defense up. We don't have to put so much pressure on Eli and the line and, you know, Cruz and, you know, all these Knicks, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, I hear you. Thanks for the call, Phil. We appreciate it, bud.
All right.
Good to hear from you, man. And I think he made some really good points on the draft. But again, I'm not going to go nuts here on who they should pick until I see who they have in free agency. Because, guys, if they go out there and they spend big on an offensive lineman like an Alex Mack and then bring in another middle-of-the-road offensive lineman to play inside, I can't imagine they're going to go all in on a first-round offensive tackle. I just don't see it. That means within 2 years, they would have spent a first-round pick on an offensive lineman, a second first-round pick on an offensive lineman, spent top-notch money in free agency as an offensive lineman, gave Will Beattie a big contract on the offensive line, and then signed another guy on top of that. And as important as offensive line is, and if you've listened to me all year, you know how important I think it is. It's the basis of everything you do on offense. You have to be good there if you want to be a good offense. But you can't spend two first-round picks, a gigantic contract extension on Beattie, a big-money free agent contract on another guy inside. You can't just invest that many resources on the offensive line, throw in the fact that you're paying Eli all that money. Where the hell are you getting money for everybody else? You got to improve the team elsewhere, too. So I think you have to see what the Giants do in free agency. Now, if the Giants don't wind up with a Jeff Schwartz, if they don't wind up with a Alex Mack, they don't wind up with a Eugene Monroe or a Michael Orr, whoever else you like on the offensive line as a free agent, is there a damn good chance they go first-round offensive tackle? Hell yeah, there's a damn good chance. But if you listen to Mike Mayock, what has he said so far leading up to this draft? You can get a good offensive lineman that can start for you in rounds 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4. And that including tackles, he said. 201-939-4513. Chris is in Houston. Chris, what's up, pal?
Hey, John, good talking to you again. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
I was going to say, I'm always apprehensive calling after Len because he steals a lot of my thunder. And now you just made a hell of a point that kind of plays into what I was going to say.
Go right ahead.
But I'll give you that in a moment. My question for Jerry or Mark would be, real quick on this one. Over the past several years, we know the battle cry was we're going for the best available player. Obviously, there's a lot more needs than in the past. My question would be, at what point in time do you determine when we have to start going at needs as opposed to best available player? That would be that question.
All right, and I'll try to answer that as best I can for you, but I will definitely redirect that to the scouts when I see him and to Mark Ross when I have a chance to talk to him. But I think there's always a blend. I think ideally if you're a team and you want to be in the best possible position, Chris, is that you want to say to yourself that going into the draft, I don't want to have to have a hole. I don't want to have a hole big enough in my team where I have to fill it in the draft, because that's the worst position you want to be in, where if you say, if I don't draft somebody at this spot, I'm screwed, because that's when you end up reaching and picking someone that maybe isn't quite as good. So the Giants, I think, will try to put themselves in that position with their work in free agency.
Okay, well taken. Now, to me, I don't want to call this a no-brainer, but this is my thought process on whether they should go in the first round, and I agree with everything that you said just a moment ago about Schwartz and Mac. If we could get them, that would be great. I think an outside middle linebacker, if C.J. Mosley is available, is a no-brainer. And the reason why I say that is because we have good periphery on the offense. We could add to that, but obviously the importance is the line. And again, you address it with the free agency. When we look at who the top echelon teams are in the NFC that we're going to have to go against for the next several years, especially if we expect to compete, when you look at RG3, running quarterback, when you look at Philly's offense with a lot of running, and then you look at those other elite teams such as Seattle with Russell Wilson, Kaepernick, Cam Newton, if they continue to do well. So we're going to need that athletic outside middle linebacker, considering that we will sign Beeson back. So that's why I think that would be the highest priority. And again, I believe that's predicated on what you said a few moments ago, we're trying to get a Mac or a Schwartz. And if we don't, just like what you said also, what Mayock said, how deep the draft is about getting another offensive lineman, giving a second, third, and quite possibly a fourth round. So, I mean, I like your feedback on that, but that's my take. I think we need somebody to capture that run game as well as that short mid-range passing game, and I think an outside linebacker would be the most important thing.
You know what? I would be just fine if C.J. Mosley drops to the Giants at 12, whether or not they re-sign Beeson or not. Either way, if they want to pick Mosley, if they think he's a playmaking linebacker to play that will linebacker spot, I would have no problem with them taking him in the first round. None at all.
Okay. Good deal. Well, I look forward to following your tweets, and I appreciate everything you do.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I appreciate you guys listening and calling. Thanks a lot, man.
Take care.
201-939-4513. Our good buddy Vic is in Connecticut. Vic, what's going on?
Good morning, John.
Hey, Vic. Long time no speak, buddy.
Well, yeah, there's so much snow up here, I can't get out of the house. It's blocked the front door.
It never ends.
It's horrible. I'm waiting for the spring.
Yeah.
I got a couple questions for you. You know, I listen every day, and I hear the talk about Hakeem Nicks and stuff. What I was curious in knowing is, because I've kind of put him to rest a little bit. I don't see the Giants spending another $7 million on a wide receiver, you know, tying up $15 million on wideouts. I just don't think that happens in the league.
Right.
But in your opinion, what is the middle ground with Nicks and the Giants? I mean, what do you think the Giants are? What do you think Nicks are? And what do you think they could come to an agreement if, in fact, they wanted to?
I think Nicks is probably looking for minimum Victor Cruz money. I think
so
the Giants would be willing to do an incentive-laden contract at around $5 million a year, give or take. And frankly, I'm not sure if there is a middle ground between those two positions.
So we can pretty much stick a fork in that. Is that pretty much what you're saying, correct?
Now, I think so. I'd be very surprised if Hakeem Nicks is back next year. That's just my opinion. But what changes that calculus is if Hakeem Nicks hits the free agent market and there are no takers and nobody wants him, and then he has to come back to the Giants hat in hand, then we might have a different conversation.
And there are probably too many teams in the league that will ignore the last couple of years and pay for, even though there was no performance the last couple of years, will pay for past performance, and then I can turn this guy around, I would think.
The Washington Redskins, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that sounds like a winner. the other question I got for you, John, is
sure.
The cap. And I know that the Giants capologist has forgotten more than I'll ever know about the cap because I don't claim to. But
right.
what confuses me is this.
Sure.
So the cap is currently around 123-ish.
Correct.
Say, 22, 23. May go to 130, as I heard you kind of just say.
That's what Adam Schefter reported this morning. Correct.
Okay. So to me, if the cap is, say, 122 and you have $100 million under contract, okay, mm-hmm. there's $22 million left for you to spend on that cap. Am I good so far?
Okay. I know. I got you.
Okay. So with the Giants situation, the Giants have a tremendous amount of unsigned players because a bunch of them were on one-year deals last year at $1 million or
right.
so, whatever. So do the Giants really have 20-ish million dollars to spend? Or after they replace all those bodies at, say, $1 million, $2 million, I'm talking like the backups of the world.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. Do they truly have that when they backfill all that, or are we taking that money that was for all those unsigned free agents? Are we using that money? I'm confused as if is there more money or less money than claims to be.
All right, and I think I understand your question. Basically, do they have almost like cap holds for open roster spots
correct.
Where they say
correct.
We're going to spend the minimum of $1 million on this, so that's already calculated into the salary cap?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
You know, that's a great question. I know they do that in the NBA. In the NFL, and there's also a rule, too, where it's like the top 50 guys on your roster only count towards the cap. It's like the top 50 rule. So I'm not sure how these media outlets and these unofficial – you know, cap numbers that you find online, you know, but usually they're not detailed online how they actually come to those numbers. So I'm not sure how they calculate them, but the Giants will eventually have to fit their entire roster underneath that $123, $130 million threshold, whatever it is. And I believe that people will calculate in, at least for like the restricted free agents, what their likely tenders are going to be and things of that nature. So I think the Giants will have, in terms of money to spend on free agents above veteran minimums, I believe they will have around $25 million to spend, depending on what they do with their various roster moves with Snee, Boss, you know, Myers, Kiwi, all those type of guys.
Yeah, and it's so much not a perfect science. It's such a moving object all the time.
No question.
I just see us, you know, backfilling some of the positions, like Mark Krzyzewski, we'll just use his name. You know, he's an unrestricted free agent, whether or not he is or isn't, and we're going to bring him back at $1 million. So now instead of having $22 million, do I have 21 and so on and so forth? And I'm hoping that it's kind of just convoluted in what you said, that there still is, you know, 20 to 25, and maybe at $30 million, maybe there's even a little bit more for us there too.
Well, you know what? There's a great website to look at. OverTheCap.com actually does a good job of listing all the guys these teams have on their contract and exactly how much they count against the salary cap. So you might have some details there. And then you have NYG Salary Cap Central, Vic, which is a great Twitter handle to follow, NYG Salary Cap Central. And he's put up a lot of articles over the past couple of weeks detailing the Giants salary cap situation. So you might be able to get some clarity on it on one of those two sites, all right?
And I've seen that. Hey, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, sure.
Actually, it's a Jerry Mark question, and I don't know that they'll answer this, and I'm going to try to put this as diplomatically as I can.
Okay.
You know, in the world of the internet and investigative services, and I mean, we can look into everybody's life, it seems, as deeply as we want, including mine and yours.
Nothing interesting there, Vic. Sorry.
What's that?
Nothing interesting
yeah.
in there.
Well, yeah,
sorry.
Mine's pretty. They would look at mine, and they would go to the next person.
Exactly.
That's the point. I'm curious to know when these guys are looking at prospective players coming out of college and they do the investigative part of it, has the kid got in trouble, more than what they may know from newspapers or whatever they find out. You know, and I just use Aaron Hernandez as an example, but a very bad example, obviously. But somebody like that, you know, when they're looking at their players and they're saying, we want to draft these guys, you know, how do they miss on some of these guys, like an Aaron Hernandez, and I use Will Hill to a much lesser extent, where all of a sudden, you know, maybe a year into the contract where they've invested some money in these young guys, and they find out, oh, my God, he did whatever, and there's an issue with, say, drugs or whatever. I'm just curious to know, why these get missed. And I know that you can miss on anything in life, trust me. But it seems like lately we're finding out more and more when the tools are getting better and better. So I'm just kind of confused there. And if you wanted to rephrase that and ask it, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But I'm just curious. I'm not looking for them to comment on the Aaron Hernandez situation by any means. Just kind of in context of his name.
I will diplomatically rephrase that as best as I can, Nick. I appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Man.
All right. You All have right. a good day.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
I got three calls on the line. We'll take you three before I say goodbye. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore first. Shakes, what's up?
What's going on, man?
What's up, brother?
Not much, man. I was listening a little bit from the callers the last two. And I have to agree with you on I have to agree just, like, matter of fact, I ain't even going to go that route right now. I'm going to go to Joseph Rupp right
All
now
right,
because I was just looking at Twitter and everybody saying how Lynn was pro-Joseph. Now, John, you know I like Joseph, okay?
I do.
I do. I really do like Joseph. I really do. I even like him more than I like Cofield, than I like, what's the other guy that left us? Corny Griffin that went to Washington. I like Joseph better than those guys, but I feel that $6 million per is too much for a defensive tackle. That I can see if we didn't have the depth on a defensive tackle on our roster, if we didn't have the depth, then I would say yes, we need to sign Joseph. But we have Hankins, we have. If we bring back Patterson, and I love Patterson, man, because he stuffed the run. We have Jenkins. You know, we have bodies. We have guys there that can do what Joseph can do. Like, Joseph is a beast. Joseph is definitely a beast. But those guys ain't nothing to poop neither.
Huh.
That's why I feel like, you know, we can use that money elsewhere. You know, especially trying to get back Knicks. You know that's me. And for Knicks, I'm going on strike. I'm going on strike on the Knicks conversation. I understand it's divided. Some people want them back. Some people want them gone. Some people are just trying to convince themselves, okay, you know, he's gone already. They just trying to, you know, prepare for the worst right now. And I get it. But we have to fight and have our voices heard that we need Knicks back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We need Knicks back. So after this, I'm not speaking on Knicks no more. Strike. I'm not conversating. If somebody say, oh, what you think about Knicks? I'm just going to look at him. I'm just going to stare. I'm just done. I'm done. I can't say no more.
Fair enough.
But that's what I really feel about Joseph, though. Like he's Big Blue. He's definitely a giant, but for $6 million per, we can't do it. And also, that's what I was saying that I agree with you on, was Mosley in the first, because I know people was killing me about Mosley, and I'm like, wow, I mean, I kind of liked him. I was impressed by Mosley. So I think either if it's Mosley in the first and then go Baptiste in the second, and then go like the top offensive lineman left in the third. That's how I would go. If that's not the case and Gilbert's still there, then go Gilbert. Go the other guy from Ohio State. But still, offensive lineman in the third round. We need him. We need them bodies, man.
Thanks for the call, Shakes.
Thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, buddy. And I will not re-engage Shakes on Knicks. If he asks me not to, I will not engage. Hopefully, you know, I hope he gets signed early in free agency. If I had one wish, that's the wish. Let it happen quickly. I don't want him sitting there on April 1st, and I got people calling in. You know, nobody else wants him. God, I think we should bring him back. Oh, that's a good idea. Well, let's avoid that, please. 201-939-4543. And by the way, folks, you can still continue to send in your potential questions for either the scouts or Mark Ross. The hashtag Giants Chat. I'll have a chance to talk to them over the combine. So get them in, and I will try to get them to them over the course of the weekend while I'm in Indianapolis. 201-939-4513. And by the way, all our Combine coverage will be at NYG Combine on Twitter. I'll be manning that all weekend as well. Two more callers. Let's go to Anthony in Phoenix first. Anthony, what's up?
Good morning. Nothing but sunshine out here in Phoenix, John.
Rub it in, Anthony. And by the way, the best part of this, it's going to be 50 degrees this weekend. The sun's going to be out. I'm going to be stuck in a press room in Indianapolis where it's 35.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to be logging in there. I want to hear your comments and keep us up to date there.
I will do
my best. I'm really excited about that. That's really nice of you.
Thanks, Anthony.
Talking about that, and with our two top 12 picks there that we have one there in the second round, and hopefully we'll get something good in the third round. I'm really excited. But I've got a question. You know, I'd like you to try to run by Jerry if you can, and maybe you have to reword it or whatever. When they value players, when they're looking at their top 50 players, so to speak, and comparing that to the needs of the team,
Yeah. How
much does education play? How much does the family life play? Not only the skills, the health, and so forth. And I'm sure certain positions, you know, of course, a quarterback, you're going to look for more education probably in other positions than others. But how much factor does that have in their decision with family life, with their upbringing, and their education?
All right. I think that's a good question. I don't see why I can't get that in there for you, Anthony. No problem.
Now, I'd also like to know, John, what's happened to the 100-yard dash? Why wouldn't they use that in the combine for, like, cornerbacks and wide routes?
Well, because how often do people actually have to sprint for 100 yards in the NFL? Usually, if
you want to know who's quick.
Yeah,
you really
but...
want to know, and not only for 40, because everybody runs the 440. You know, the 4.5, the 4.4. Everybody runs it. You got linebackers today. Who can run the field? I mean, I remember, you know, I'm a little bit older, so I go back to Homer Jones and then way before Homer Jones and also, you know, Bob Hayes, where they had a race for 100 yards. It was a big thing. We want to know who's the fastest. And truthfully, the Giants really need a guy that can run. We're going to look for a wide receiver. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. We're going to be looking for a wide receiver somewhere along the line that can run.
I would think that's true. And hopefully that wide receiver that can run can also do kickoffs and punts.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jin might be the, you know, you've been talking about him. That might be the way to go.
Could be.
Yeah. So if you could run that by Jerry a little bit, I don't know if you want to reword it. But I'm really curious how much that education and upbringing. Because you think of the life of Jeter and you think of the life of David Wright. How much difference that made in their careers?
Nah, 100%. Anthony, I'm with you, man. No problem.
All right, take care now.
Thanks, buddy. Always good to hear from you, Anthony. Thanks a lot. And I think that's a great question. I think I could ask Mark that. No problem at all. And I'm going to ask how they go about, and how I'll rephrase Vic's question is how they go about finding out the stuff about the kid off the field, too. So I can kind of combine those two questions into one. Vic and Anthony, two of my favorite callers. A couple of very nice questions. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, you're wrapping up the show today, buddy. What's up?
I wrapped it up yesterday, too. I was just thinking a way you can get this to Jerry of being shrewd and not losing Joseph. I was thinking you just did say Joseph is very good, and we have Hankins who,
yep,
you know, maybe be a step underneath him. So I say we sign Joseph, and there's got to be teams out there like the Redskins and that would have promising young offensive linemen that we could trade Jonathan Hankins for and just not lose Joseph. You think he could do that?
I mean, you could pair Hankins and Joseph on the defensive line long term, but I think you have a guy like Colin Jenkins who you're going to want to play. So the issue you have, you want to get Jenkins time. I mean, you could theoretically move him out to end a little bit, but you want to get Hankins time. He's a second-round pick. You want to get Joseph time if you re-sign him and you give him all that money. I'm just not sure there's enough snaps to go around.
No, I'm saying trade.
Oh, Johnson trade Hankins. I'm sorry.
Right. He's a rookie. He wouldn't have a big salary cap. You could sure find somebody with a promising young lineman that would, you know, like an offensive lineman for him, no?
Yeah, you know what? Trades are very hard to do in the NFL.
I
get where you're
Giants,
coming from.
The Giants need so much. They need offensive people, especially teams. The same with Jernigan. He's the same guy as Cruz. Why can't we trade Jernigan and get a need for him, like a running back, a different, maybe a tight end, a promising
for
him.
Well, honestly,
I think a lot of promise.
I think the Giants would be very open to trading Gerald Jernigan. I'm not sure what his value is around the league. He's been in the league 3 years now. He's played 2.5 good games in the NFL. I don't think there's a lot of value out there for Jernigan, to be honest with you.
But he did show a lot of promise. And I'm saying there has to be teams out there, you know what, that would take him, and we could get somebody, maybe a return guy for him or so at least. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, and the same thing in the draft, maybe more with our third or fourth pick, you talk to these general managers or something. Maybe we could step down and get a player from them. You know, he's just got to start getting shrewder because all teams want to better themselves too, and you got to take some chances. You know, but Jernigan and Hankins show a lot of promise. You know, I'd trade an even value for them and sign Lindell Joseph instead of just losing these players.
Nah, I hear you, Joe. That's not a bad point. Thanks a lot for the call, man.
Yeah, because we just need so many. We need tight ends. We need receivers. We need quarterbacks, offensive linemen. Them guys show a lot of promise. Sign Joseph and make a trade, you know. General managers, there's lots of them that need would take him. I take Jonathan Hankins, the Washington Redskins. He shows a lot of promise, and he has a rookie salary cap.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Giants would trade him in the division, but yes, look, there are a lot of teams out there that would want Jonathan Hankins, but I think the way the Giants look at it is that rather than, you know, having to try to go out there and find a trade that fits, and then your options are limited in terms of the players you can bring in, they'd rather take the $6 or $7 million they're saving on not paying Lindell Joseph and go out there and then use that on a player that's available in free agency, and then you still control Jonathan Hankins on his rookie contract for 3 more years.
Yeah, but we got a sure thing in Joseph, and we can get a promising young offensive lineman. This is what I'm saying for Hankins.
I hear you, Joe.
I mean, it's the same thing with Jernigan. People in the slot are tough to find, like him and Cruz, and who's the guy that was he's in with Denver now.
Welker.
They're tough to find, right? You could get a promising guy for Jernigan too. I said we need like a fill-in running back or something like that instead of just losing these players for nothing, you know. And you're scratching one another's back. I just tell Jerry to look into that instead of just losing these players.
All right, thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call, my friend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Everybody, great job on the phones. Great job on Twitter. Keep those questions coming on hashtag Giants Chat all day long. I'll compile them at the end of the day, and I will certainly have them ready for our scouts and for Mark Ross when we get to the Combine in Indianapolis. Tomorrow, Paul Dottino will be hosting at 9:30 on Giants.com. Monday, it'll be Lance Meadow coming in and taking care of business here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Then I'll be back on Tuesday. And next Thursday, again, we'll have Pete DeMilitas from Pro Football Focus talking a little bit about how they rank their players and some of the Giants free agents coming up next year. And I have your questions. Dan did a great job writing it down in his fabulous penmanship, and we'll be good to go. Everybody, great work. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Stay tuned.